This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Julia Child loved her kitchen tools. She loved her knives, her pots and pans, and she loved her Thermidor oven. She even used Thermidor products on her famed PBS series, The French Chef.
Now, as you might know, Child passed away in 2004. So at first blush, when you hear that BSH Home Appliances, the company that makes Thermidors, is using Child's name and image in a marketing campaign, you might think, hey, she loved the products, she's dead now, who cares?
Well, the Julia Foundation for Gastronomy and the Culinary Arts cares. It has demanded that BSH stop using Child's name and likeness. Child's Foundation also claims it has exclusive trademark and copyright control to the chef's name, image, and celebrity identity. And now the two groups have ended up in court.
So we thought this story was interesting for a couple of reasons. First, intellectual property law is a growing area of legal jurisprudence. And in a world where so much of our personas, whether or not you're a celebrity, are public and online, who should own that information, especially after you're dead? Second, there is a bill currently pending in the Massachusetts legislature that aims to protect the so-called right of publicity for celebrities living in the state. And if passed, it would protect the commercial value of a celebrity's image or likeness for up to 70 years after their death.
The issue was first reported in a story entitled "Who Owns You After You Die?" in the Ideas section of the Boston Globe. So a grateful hat tip to writer Leon Nafok for that. There's a link to his story at radioboston.org.
And now we're going to push forward from there with a little more. And joining us is our State Senator Stan Rosenberg. Excuse me, Mr. Rosenberg. He represents Hampshire and Franklin counties in western Massachusetts. Senator Rosenberg also sponsored the proposed legislation that we'll be discussing. Welcome to Radio Boston, Senator.
Thank you very much. Happy to be with you.
It's great to have you. Also with us is Ray Madoff, professor at Boston College Law School and author of the book Immortality and the Law, The Rising Power of the American Dead. Ray Madoff, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me.
So, Senator Rosenberg, let's start with you. A very famous Massachusetts resident first came to you through his lawyer, and that resident is Bill Cosby, and said, hey, we need to do something about protecting images for celebrities after they die. What did Bill Cosby's lawyer tell you?
That a number of other states have decided to go beyond the existing law, which protects people during their lifetimes, and extend those protections after their death. And we took a look at the issue and realized that there were a couple of aspects to it. The first is the obvious, which is we're a very commercialized society, and people will buy and sell anything they can imagine, and then there's the question of who has the right to buy and sell. And in this case, we had very strong protections for people during their lifetimes, but upon their deaths, what was not allowed the day before they died is allowed the day after they die. And that, to me, seemed rather unfair, that people should be able to profit off of the intellectual property, the lifetime of work, the characters, the voice, the likeness, everything that belonged to that celebrity, that was created by that celebrity over a course of a lifetime.
But unfair to whom? Because the celebrity unfair would be dead.
Unfair to the heirs of that celebrity, because it's not only the question of whether people might make money off it, but also they could choose to change it and manipulate it in ways that are unfavorable and are offensive to the family and to the people who loved that celebrity. And so there was that whole aspect. And the second aspect was that, you know, the Commonwealth has an interest in this because upon the death of an individual, estate taxes and other things in our tax codes and other forms of government regulation kick in, and so we have an interest at that point as well. And if people are very successful and live in the Commonwealth, we benefit during their lifetimes. We don't want them to move out of the Commonwealth during their lifetimes, in order to secure protections upon their death.
Senator Rosenberg, let me ask you, though, with all due respect to my fellow residents of the state of Massachusetts, we're not California, we're not New York. I mean, we're not necessarily a mecca for Hollywood-type celebrities to live here full-time. Is this truly of a huge economic benefit to Massachusetts? And if so, exactly how are we... How do you define celebrity in the case of this bill?
First of all, I would say Massachusetts is one of America's cultural meccas, and there are many people who live in the state, from composers and choreographers to actors. You could start a long list of Boston area actors who came out of South Boston. We don't have to mention all of their names right now, but we also... what about our sports teams? We have championship sports teams here as well, and so there's a significant number of people who have celebrity status who also have wealth.
So are we talking about basically these A-list celebrities, regardless of whether they're on film, television, or the sports field? How are you defining celebrity?
We're talking about anybody who whose image and likeness has any kind of commercial value. It could even be you.
I dread to think who would want to use my voice or image and for what, but I take your point, Senator Rosenberg.
Well, that is exactly the point. For what do they want to use it, and should you have anything to say about it, and should your heirs have anything to say about it?
They're only allowed to use it to raise funds for public radio. I'm just putting it out there. Senator Rosenberg,
set your terms, and that's the whole point of the matter.
And I'm still living. So stand by for just a moment, because I want to bring in Professor Madoff into this conversation. Professor Madoff, you've written a book called Immortality and the Law, The Rising Power of the American Dead. So from that title, I take it to... leads me to believe that maybe you don't think that this expansion of the so-called right to publicity post-mortem is necessarily the best thing for the American public domain.
That's absolutely right. I think that this expansion of the right of publicity is one of these things that initially sounds very benign and like it makes very good sense. You know, you can control it while you're living. Why can't you control it one day later? And do we really want horrible things being done to dead people after they're gone and can't protect themselves? And I appreciate Senator Rosenberg's presentation in that way, because I think that it shows a number of problems with this statute. First of all, there are lots of different ways, there's lots of differences between the way we treat living people and dead people. Mm. And this is something that I found through my book that I was surprised about at the variety of differences. So, for example, during your life, you have protections of the right of privacy. People can't invade your privacy for any way. After you're dead, that's totally gone. During your life, people... you're protected against libel and slander, people saying false things against you. After death, that is totally gone. And these rules remain. There's nothing about this expanded right of publicity that does anything to change these rules. So you could write a tell-all book about someone that claimed that they were a pedophile, a philanderer, traitor to the country. You could be intentionally lying about this famous person, and there would be nothing under current law to preclude that, and nothing under the proposed statute to preclude it.
So more things we need to fix then.
But let me ask you.
Should people be allowed to lie about dead people if they can't lie about them in life?
Well, that's been the state of the law in our country in every
state.
Well,
that doesn't mean that the law is complete and correct. I mean, a common sense says to me that... that if you can't call somebody a pedophile in life without proving that they're a pedophile, that you shouldn't be able to call them a pedophile after they're dead when they can't defend themselves. That's absurd.
I do suppose, though, there's the issue of a proof of harm and who you're harming in the case of someone who's dead. And Professor Madoff, at the risk of not letting you respond to that, there's another point, though, regarding the law that's being proposed in Massachusetts that I wanted to explore with you a little bit. And that's the idea, Bill Cosby, who sort of was one of the driving forces behind this in Massachusetts, said it's not so much the slander and libel that's a potential issue, but he was apparently concerned that his image or likeness would be used to endorse causes and products that he would not have endorsed while living. Now, why is that not a justifiable thing to try and prevent after death? Because the person's persona, their image, is still a powerful commercial force, regardless if they're alive or dead.
And I think that that raises, again, a very good point. The problem is that this existing statute, these expansions of the right of publicity, in fact, don't do that. And indeed, they can even encourage just the opposite. And the reason is that these statutes give a very limited right, which is the right to profit from the marketing of a person's name or image, from the commercial maximization of a commercial value. However, people don't always want their values, their identities to be used for different things. So look at the way, for example, Einstein has been used. Einstein markets Apple computers, baby products, Genius Bread, right? And nobody thinks that this is what Albert Einstein would have wanted. But the problem is, because there was a descendable right of publicity in New Jersey, and because his interest has been acquired by somebody who has an interest in maximizing the market value, it increases the marketing associated with these names in all sorts of ways the person might not have wanted. And so John Lennon has recently been used in an advertisement for cars. There's not a person, Jack Kerouac is not too hip to be owned by CMG Worldwide, one of these companies that owns celebrity identities and markets them to maximum value.
Professor Madoff, stand by on that because I want to return to that issue in just a moment. But I also want to let our listeners know that we are talking about who owns your image, especially if you're a celebrity, like Anthony Brooks, my co-host, after you die. And it's actually quite an important and expanding part of intellectual property law across the United States, and there's legislation pending in the state of Massachusetts that deals with this issue of celebrity and posthumous publicity. So what are your thoughts? Do you think that a celebrity or a person whose image has commercial value, that those family members should be able to benefit from their famous relative's image or likeness or the sound of their voice after they die? Do you want to have to pay, for example, to, I don't know, host an Elvis impersonator contest? You want to have to pay the estate of Elvis Presley? And who's being protected and who's being harmed when we expand these so-called right of publicity laws into or after a person dies? Is the family being protected, or is the public domain being harmed, or is there something going on in between? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Senator Rosenberg, let me ask you briefly to pick up where Professor Madoff left off. Couple things. One is that, as she pointed out, there are a lot of very famous people whose images, personas, whatnot, now that they've passed away, are not owned by the families, but they are owned by companies who manage these things and who are in the business for profit. So whether or not that person would have agreed with how their image is being used, it's not even run by a family member anymore. What's your thought about that?
Well, had this law been in place, then Mr. Einstein and his heirs could make the determination about how they want to deal with this after his death and for whatever period after his death. In the case of Massachusetts, we're limiting the law to 70 years. And so after that, and I'm not a lawyer and I'm not an economist here, but after 70 years, there's a whole other construct that's available, and the existing laws would kick in. And so whatever the laws would allow after 70 years is what would end up happening. But so I think you have to look at it from the point of view of, if we change the law, what happens after we change the law, as opposed to looking back. And again,
I'm asking you is the spirit. I can understand the spirit of the law, or the reason why you've sponsored this legislation. But if in truth the market is such that family members in the end are not being protected, what's the point?
Well, this law will protect them.
If they sell the right to another company.
Well, then that's their choice.
Hmm. Well, Professor Madoff?
Yes, well, the other thing is it's not always their choice. And the reason is because Senator Rosenberg mentioned taxes, and I think it's very important to understand the interplay of the tax system and the descendable right of publicity. And that is that anything that is property that can be passed on at death is subject to tax at its highest market value. And so let's say you have a family that has a very valuable name. Let's say it's the J.D. Salinger family or even the Bill Cosby family. And they don't want to have their loved ones used in marketing commercials. Nonetheless, the estate tax, both the federal and Massachusetts estate tax, is imposed on the value of this right at its highest market value. And to give you an idea of how valuable these rights are, the Muhammad Ali right of publicity was recently valued at $62 million. If you impose a tax of $20 million on that asset, a family could very easily be forced to market the name simply in order to pay the taxes associated with the ownership of that name. The creation of property rights raises its own problems that people often are not aware of.
Let me ask you about an issue that always raises its head when we talk about expansion of trademark or copyright or intellectual property for that matter. And that is this tension between the right of ownership of regarding the individual and what should or shouldn't belong in the public domain. Essentially, this idea that after some period of time, the development, the onward development of culture requires that we have access to use these ideas, these images, and personas. Ray Madoff, let me just start with you on that.
That's absolutely right. I think that many people were surprised, to say the least, when in creating the Martin Luther King Memorial, that the family had to be paid $800,000 in order to use Dr. King's image and words.
This is the memorial on the Mall in Washington, D.C.
Yes. And that was because there was a descendable right of publicity associated with his image. And in fact, they have really held a stranglehold on the use of his image and of his words. So when we create private interests, we do often freeze out the public from things that the public expects that it owns. Mm.
Senator Rosenberg, I hear that, you understand.
Really think they own Martin Luther King and his legacy?
The family, because there is a descendable right of publicity in his image, yes.
Well, but that's my point, is if I understood the professor's point correctly, the complaint is that the public should own him after he dies.
Or you could take the opposite.
And that the family loses the connection and the right to protect a member of their family who, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not an accountant.
Actually, Senator Rosenberg, I take your point, but I do want to.
Guy, the common sense.
I do, Senator, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I do want to ask you, we're not challenging a legal point here. I'm sort of asking more of a philosophical point, that when it comes to the development of our culture and, for example, the careers that people such as Bill Cosby and all those great, New England celebrities that you mentioned earlier, they in part, I mean, you could say they've built their careers based on this like common culture of entertainment and sports that we all share. And that's what the public domain is. And so if we're creating laws that keep things out of the public domain, do you think we might be risking doing anything to sort of, muck up the engine of creativity?
No, absolutely not. Because for the 70 years that it's protected under this law, it is still available. It just has to be paid for if the family chooses to ask for money, or if the foundation that's set up to benefit by the life's work and career of the individual who passed on, as in the example that you gave at the beginning of this conversation. So the point is, should somebody have to give permission, and if so, if there's a commercial value to it, to whom does the commercial value go? And for Apple Computer, which has more money than Fort Knox, to be able to use the image of Einstein to make more money, if that's why they're doing that, and if that's the part of the result of that, and for no one in the Einstein family to benefit by that, why does Apple need the more money as opposed to the foundation or the work or the family of Mr. Einstein?
Let me get a quick response from Professor Madoff about that.
I think that the thing to note is the cultural use of these images is is really an important part of our cultural heritage. So if you think about the work of Andy Warhol and how he used the images of Marilyn Monroe and Elvis Presley to create his artwork, that's because these images have a cultural resonance. They mean something that we understand that goes beyond the personality of Marilyn Monroe or Elvis Presley, and it's a way of communicating with each other. And a strong, descendable right of publicity would really limit the creation of these types of artworks and communications that that reference our cultural heritage.
I have to say, I hear your point, but on the other hand, it seems as if the trend regarding, you know, from state to state across the United States is moving in the opposite direction. I mean, Massachusetts is not alone in this. There are what, 20-something other states that have...
Well, 13.
13 states have passed these right to publicities, you know, post-mortem laws, which range, you know, they put the cap on the number of years from anywhere from 20 years to... in perpetuity, in the case of Tennessee and Elvis Presley.
But you have to look at who has an interest in creating these statutes, right? Not all states have gone there. New Hampshire has just rejected the descendable right of publicity.
It got through the legislature, but Governor Lynch is the one who vetoed
it. That's right, because of his concern for First Amendment rights and things like that. But also New York has been very strong in its opposition because they understand all of the other values that are going to be trumped by creating these property rights. But the creation of these property rights are not as a result, I don't know what motivated Senator Rosenberg, I'm not speaking about him, but in most of these states, they are the results of corporate interests. CMG Worldwide in Indiana has the most expansive right of publicity because there's a company in that state that profits from making it so. But that doesn't mean it's in the best interest of the public.
Senator Rosenberg, we've got just a couple seconds to go. This bill has made it halfway through Beacon Hill. What's your sense as to whether or not in the next legislative session you might get it a step further?
Oh, we're going to keep pushing it because we think it's right, and we think this is the direction that we ought to be going into.
Senator Stan Rosenberg joining us today from Amherst. Thank you so much for your time, Senator.
My pleasure.
And Professor Ray Madoff, professor at Boston College School of Law and author of Immortality and the Law, The Rising Power of the American Dead, thank you as well.
Thank you very much.
And listeners, please do continue this conversation online at radioboston.org. Coming up, Pulitzer Prize-winning art critic for the Boston Globe, Sebastian Smee, shares with us the must-see art exhibits in New England. Stay with us. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty with Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.